show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, you hear me? Give my creation! Fly!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Guy James Show. Glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. Coming to you live from the Guy James Show studios. And we hope to have an interesting program for you today. And, of course, it'll be more interesting if you contribute as well. And you can do that by giving us a call at 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Love to hear from you today. Of course, we will be talking about politics today. Seems like we talk about politics every day, don't we? Well, it's what's in the news now. So we will talk about it a lot today. There is much to talk about. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac thing is amazing. And I see that Sarah Palin's comments on it prove she doesn't know Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac from a Big Mac. He evidently is not been prepared to talk about any of these things. And we'll talk a lot about Sarah Palin today. I just can't get past the fact that that John McCain's made such a decision. It's been on my mind almost constantly since she was announced as the VP for them. And so we will talk about that a lot today. Because really and truly, if you want to know how I really feel about it, nothing has ever proven my point about the American public being so utterly stupid than this hubbub over Sarah Palin. And that she's being accepted by millions of women who know there's no there is just flat out stunning to me. A 20% bounce in the women's vote. And I just, oh my God, I can't get over it. I really can't. But we'll get to that soon enough today. I didn't want to talk about it, and thank God we're being spared here. I see they're talking on the chat room, Texas Betsy. I hope you're not in the path of that, Betsy. But this storm Ike, it appeared for a while it'd be going to be coming at us here, but it's changed course and kind of headed for Texas now. And we, other than getting a little bit of rain from some outer bands and a little bit of wind, we're not getting anything here in Southwest Florida. So. Once again, we've dodged one of these bullets, and I'm grateful for that. Very grateful for that. But in the meantime, we're being robbed by the federal government once again, and so what's new about that? Talking about debt for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, this debt and what's happening with this whole mess, their fat cat leaders bailing out with millions of dollars. Well, one of them, $14.8 million in a a bonus clause for running a company into the ground. Isn't that great? What happens to you if you work over at Walmart or J.C. Penney's or down at the local hardware store? What happens to you if you really screw up your job? You know, just mess it up completely. You don't do your work. All the employees in the place is screwing up, and the place is filthy, and you're not making any sales, and just basically losing in small business hundreds of thousands of dollars. Do you get a big bonus when they fire you? Is that how that works? I tell you. So it's debt that we're talking about, basically, with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and Republicans love debt. They need us to be in debt. And so now the fat cats who got rich when things were going really well over at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they won't have to worry because the American public will end up paying off their massive losses. And I don't know. I think I broke my calculator last night. I was trying to figure out some of this. It seems to me that this thing again is one of those things where they privatize the profits and socializing the losses. And isn't that just the way that the neocon Republicans like it? When there are massive profits, we take all we can. Get it, you know, take, grab, get, greed, take it, get it. But when things go bad, oh no! You see, this is integral to the good, you know, to the good standing of the United States. We've got to have this. We've got to throw public money in there. I mean, we've got to. Otherwise, we'll go down the tube. Never mind that we raked off billions and billions and billions in profits before when things are going all right. But gee whiz, you can't expect us to absorb losses, can you? I mean, we put money in this to always make money. We didn't gamble and buy stock and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to ever lose money. Surely you understand that. Of course we made a little profit. Of course that's what it's all about. But surely you're not going to make us lose money on our stock. And why no, that wouldn't be right. That's not the Republican way of doing things. Just not the way. So we'll end up paying off their losses. And I'm still trying to figure out how this squares with the Republican mantra of the market will take care of itself. How many times have you heard that in the past few decades? The market will take care of itself. Of course it doesn't square with what they've said, but it sure does fit nicely with their practice of telling the public one thing and then doing another. They don't know how to do it any other way. And it also fits nicely with my contention that Republican conservative voters are among the dumbest people on the face of the earth for actually voting for the politicians who are picking their pockets while telling them all about the evils of Roe v. Wade and the goodness of family values. Vote for us and we'll get rid of that Roe v. Wade and we've got family values. You know, imagine for a moment, and I have imagined this, well, imagine for a moment what would have happened if Bill Clinton had asked the feds to take over Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. I mean, oh my God. There'd have been more hubbub over that than there was Monica Lewinsky. There would have been 24/7 hell to pay in the media, and you know I'm right. And there would have been extra editions of newspapers on the corner. Extra, extra. Read all about it. Bill Clinton takes over Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The world's coming to an end. It would have been... You know, they had special bulletins all night long, breaking news on the major TV channels, and the right-wing talk show idiots would have had friggin' coronaries over this. And they would have convinced the public that the Democrats had done this all by themselves. The Democrats had run it into the ground. So, Sarah, what's her name? Won't have to answer any questions about it, because we all know that the big, bad media... Ooh... They've been so naughty and nasty towards this poor little flower of Alaska, this moose-killing, bear-skinning, fishing, born-again, end-time-believing, wannabe secessionist, eBay plane-selling, chef-firing, beauty queen mom who all of a sudden millions of American women are identifying with as one of their own, so they won't have to talk about it. She won't have to talk about it. Well, she already did, but it didn't turn out so well because she already thought that the two huge lending institutions were government agencies. She already thought that before this takeover. And if we all lose our jobs and get thrown out of our homes and we need some health care, God forbid, we'll just have to bend over one more time and grab the proverbial bootstraps, because spending any government money to help those in need is just plain old commie socialism. Bail out the stockholders of Bear Stearns. Bail out the stockholders of Freddie Mac and God, I can't even say them right now. But bail them out. Bail them out. But anybody that needs a little health care, needs a little help with their home or their job or whatever, you can go to hell. Because you don't matter, you see. Because you've got nothing to do with their profit. As long as you've got enough money to buy whatever it is they sell, and they can continue to make millions, screw you. Meanwhile, Johnny Boy McCain is telling us everything's just fine. Just fine. It's just a slight bump in the road. Don't worry about it, because it's, you know, he's going to take good care of us. Yes, the Ronnie Reagan trickle-down economics are going to kick in any day now. And you all have your piece of the American pie. Don't worry about it. And I'm relieved. I don't know about you, but I'm really relieved that I'll be able to get a job picking tomatoes in Immokalee, Florida, not too far away from here, as soon as the Republicans get those pesky illegal Mexicans kicked out of the country. Don't spend any more time worrying about it. I know a lot of you are worrying about your jobs. I know a lot of you are worrying about your homes. A lot of you are worrying how you're going to pay the bills, worrying about the economy. You don't have a big savings account. You're not going to be able to send your kids to college. Don't worry about it. It's going to be all right. That's what they'd have us believe, those Republicans. Just play along. And they'll make sure you get a half-decent meal every day when you finish cleaning their houses and washing their Rolls Royces and polishing their silver. You'll get to eat. And still, millions of Americans will cast their votes for them because they're pro-life and they're free market people. And that's all that matters, as long as they say that. You know, those voters that vote for them, they may not be able to afford their electric bill, and they'll never be able to send their own kids to college or maybe even public schools. That is, if the public schools still exist. But at least they won't have the government interfering in their business or killing babies. Because even if your daughter gets raped and impregnated by the gardener at her job at a Republican mansion, she won't have to worry about making a choice. It'll be done for by the compassionate conservatives a la Sarah Palin. I love these people. I just love them. They make me want to puke. You think I've got some sort of an obsession with all this? Well, I do. Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae bailouts. General Motors now is talking about it. Chrysler's talking about it. Ford, the airlines, more banks. How many more private companies will we have to bail out? Will the public have to bail out? They made their massive profits for years, and now they want us to bear the burdens of their debt. Oh, yes, and I understand Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they're the pillars of the financial... of everything financial here in this country, and we've just got to, you know, we can't let them fail. Well, that's something, isn't it? Isn't that just something? Let's head on over to the phone. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Dr. Ahmed. I'm due to be speaking to the Guy James Show at 3:30.
Oh, yes.
Does that sound right to you?
Yes. We didn't get a confirmation on that.
I'm sorry. It's my schedule. So do you want to reschedule or?
Yes. Can I put you on hold for just one moment?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, we're going to pause for a quick break. We will be right back with the program. Don't go away.
Will this heart of mine has been hardened like a
That's quite all right. So it seems that my publicity team didn't confirm with you, so perhaps this isn't a good time.
Moving on, you don't haunt my dreams like you did before. Oh, and I will curse your name.
I'm on 843-799-9158. Oh, no, I won't be here for long. Because they just stopped my patients to come and speak to you from 3:30 to 3:55. If you want to reach me later on in the day, use my cell phone at 916-626-6428. So, are you planning to interview me today, or do you want to just reach me? All right, so Susan, don't worry about calling me. I'll have the publisher arrange it with you, and I'm so sorry for the inconvenience. Very grateful for the opportunity. Thank you.
Hey, we're back, and nothing like live radio here, right? that's something that's my fault, I think. I'm not sure exactly. We had an inquiry about an interview with a fascinating lady, and the publisher never called me back to confirm it, but they did have it confirmed with her. So we can't do it today. It wouldn't fit in with the program today, but I'll let you know that soon we'll have Dr. Kanta Ahmed. She's a medical doctor, and she wrote a book called In the Land of Invisible Women, A Female Doctor's Journey in the Saudi Kingdom. And I must tell you, if you've been surprised and in disbelief by the way women are treated in Saudi Arabia and some of the other Middle Eastern countries, you will be amazed by this book. You really will. And we'll reschedule that probably for tomorrow or the next day, so sorry about that. We were talking about Sarah Palin, and the bailouts and all this. We'll talk quite a little bit today about Sarah Palin. But before I get into that, I did want to mention some more about this government bailout. And I know, even Barack Obama is saying that we ought to get involved in it. Well, I don't know. I just don't know. I'm not enough of an economist to know if the entire financial structure of this country would fail if Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae went bust or lost a tremendous amount of money. But I do know this. I do know the Republicans took away the regulation of it. They were all for the deregulation of it. And let it start running wild on its own. And then they started selling stock, and they became accountable to stockholders. And then profit. Huge profits is what became important to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They'd have to make plenty of profit and got a little greedy. They got very greedy. They started taking loans they shouldn't have taken. And what happens is your local bank makes a loan to you. Let's say you borrow 100 grand for a house, and the local bank doesn't have all that much backing behind them to be giving out a bunch of loans. So they sell that mortgage instead to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac bundle those loans and sell them to other investors overseas many of the times. And so that way the whole house of cards can keep going. And it worked fine because they had limits. That worked fine for many years. It had limits on how much the loans could be. But, oh, no, that wasn't good enough for the people at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac once the profiteers got involved, once the stockholders got involved, and once the big buck people got involved. No, they took off the regulations for what size of loans they gave. They started giving bigger ones. And they started taking away, you know, income requirements and all that sort of thing so that they could give as many loans as possible and make as much money as possible. Because they knew in the end, that if what has happened, they knew if that did happen, and it has, they knew you and I would bail them out. And you and I would have no say in the matter. They knew that. They have successfully lobbied Congress, and at least thank God with this takeover by the government, the lobbying is going to stop. But they've lobbied to the point where they've got everything their own way, and they made off with billions, and now you and I are stuck with the bill once again. And it's another example of let's do one thing, let's say one thing and do another by the Republicans. And let me just give you some examples. The 2008 Republican Party platform, now we're talking about a week ago. The Republican Party platform, we do not support government bailouts of private institutions. Government interference in the markets exacerbates problems in the marketplace and causes the free market to take longer to correct itself. We believe in the free market as the best tool to sustain prosperity and opportunity for all. That's the Republican Party platform of a week ago. And already we're hearing that this is not going to be the final chapter in this, that this is not, although it may have short-term gains lowering the interest for home buyers, it's still going to be hard to get a loan. And it's not really going to do that much to stabilize the housing market for at least a year or two. We're hearing that already. And Junior Bush, in May of this year, said laws shouldn't bail out lenders. Laws shouldn't help speculators. Well, let me ask you, what were the people in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the stockholders, what are they other than speculators? Dick Cheney, he said, let me quote Dick Cheney, the fact is the markets work, and they are working. And people, some of the big companies, obviously, have taken risk. Risk means risk. And there's an upside as well as a downside in some of the choices they've made. We have to be careful not to have this set of developments lead us to significantly expand the role of government in ways that may do damage long-term for the economy. We don't want to interfere with the basic fundamental workings of the market. Dick Cheney. Sarah Palin. At the Republican National Convention. Let me quote her. What exactly is our opponent's plan? What does he actually seek to accomplish? After he's done turning back the waters and healing the planet, the answer is to make government bigger. Have you got any Fannie Mae stock? If you do, why did you buy it? When did you buy it? And I do realize that some of it, the investors are teaching retirement funds and police pension funds. If you did buy some of it, we'll see what happens to your investment this week. You better believe the big boys have bailed already. You better believe the big boys knew this was coming and got out while they could, and they'll leave the debt to you with your pension funds and your retirement funds. You'll get stuck. The news about the taxpayer takeover of Fannie and Freddie are not surprising, but it is momentous news. And I don't have a lot to say about it that I haven't said before. You know, in one sense, the timing of it, think about this, the timing of it is absolutely outrageous. Just before an election, and right after an inconveniently bad week for the stock market, but then for people who like accountability, the timing's good. It's far better it happened now than after Inauguration Day. This way, at least the responsibility is clear, whose fault it is, whose administration it happened during, and the Larry Kudlows of the world won't be able to spend the next few decades blaming the Democrats, but they'll still try. In a perfect political world, in an honest world, any political party that presided over this sort of debacle would wander out in the wilderness for years, kind of like the Herbert Hoover years, or be permanently discredited. But instead, in our country right now, knowing all this, knowing that the Republican Party has utterly and totally and completely failed the citizens of this country in so many ways, think about this, the greatest failure of an administration in my lifetime, certainly, and they're within a couple of percentage points of winning a third term in the White House. And let me tell you something. If Americans decide to give the Bush-McCain people a third term in the White House, the American people will deserve everything they get, not only financially, but as I've said before, in terms of national security and physical safety as well. Who's going to pay for this mess? Well, as always, it's going to be you and I. And probably the biggest way that you and I will pay for this is through inflation. People that have savings are going to have savings decimated through inflation. It's an ugly mess. And the thing is, we're all forced to participate in this whether we like it or not. And if people really understood what was going on here, if they really, really understood what was going on here, essentially a system of what I call soft slavery, where an ever-increasing amount of your daily labor subsidizes Wall Street and the speculator class via inflation and the socialization of risk that we've talked about, people would be rioting in the streets if they really understood what is happening here. But the big problem is, very few people do understand it, which is exactly what the politicians and their fat cat Wall Street friends are counting on. What are you going to do about it? Well, you're not going to do anything about it. Best way to protect yourself from all this is probably get rid of all the U.S. dollars you got and get gold. I've never been one of those people, but or other currencies. Think about that. There have been a few nations that had the gall to do that during the past few years. Russia and Venezuela and Iran, gotten rid of their dollars. And what does that do but constitute a sort of an existential threat to our bailout nation? And so how much longer can we allow that? It's not too hard to see where this is all going, is it? It's not very hard to see at all. Mark my word. You know where it's going to lead. It's going to lead to trouble. But this whole Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac deal, I mean, the Federal National Mortgage Association, which is known as Fannie Mae, and Freddie Mac is what, the Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation? They were set up as privately owned and operated government-sponsored enterprises, a GSE in government language, and their role was to guarantee or buy mortgages issued by various lenders. And they actually own half of all mortgage debt in America. That totals $5.4 trillion. And during the past 8 years, especially during 2006 and 2007, both of them lowered their lending standards to buy subprime and other risky mortgage products to make more profit. You know, these companies were set up to help consumers be able to buy homes. They weren't set up as profit-making organizations. But once the fat cats got their hands on them, you know the drill. Get a hold of a company, an entity of some kind, and suck the blood out of it. And that's exactly what's happened to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And the legislation that authorized the takeover, it went way beyond guaranteeing the bonds for these companies. I mean, they bailed out the management who drove these companies into near bankruptcy. Last year, the CEO of Freddie Mac was paid $18.3 million, and the CEO of Fannie Mae was paid only $11.6 million. And Freddie Mac's CEO may now be entitled to an additional $14 million in severance payments. And Fannie Mae's CEO is going to receive $9.3 million in severance payments. It's incredible, isn't it? Screw your job up as bad as you possibly can till your company goes almost bankrupt, and we're going to hand you a big pile of cash when you walk out the door. All of this was due to lax oversight by the conservatives in Washington. These companies wanted to increase profits. Finance companies and banks, they sold subprime and non-traditional mortgages to millions of Americans who the companies knew couldn't afford to make the payments. And all the while, you had Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac acting as accomplices, while the Bush administration and the Federal Reserve, too, absolutely shirked their responsibility to stop these reckless lending practices. They knew this was going on. They knew it was going on. I mean, we're in a long, ugly national decline right now. They can make all the speeches that they want at both conventions, I might add, that this is the greatest nation on earth and our best days are ahead and, oh, we've got this bright outlook, everything's fine. They can say that all they want to. They said it more at the Republican convention, but it was mentioned at the Democratic convention, too, that our greatest days are ahead. Well, I'd be cautious in saying that right now. Because this housing crisis of Freddie Mae and Fannie Mac and Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae and that's just one element of our national economic decline. We're going downhill, folks. Unemployment is at a 5-year high. Prices are rising. We're starting to see inflation creep in. The banks are failing all over the country and America's fallen into recession. We've been into a recession for months now, no matter who wants to admit it. And yet, in a few months from now, if Barack Obama wins the election, if we don't have another Republican administration, which when we get into looking at the polls here in a few minutes, beginning to appear likely that we might have a third Bush term, this will all get blamed on the Democrats. It'll all get blamed on them. And yet they sit back and say, more. Give me some more. I like it. Give me some more. We're going to pause for a quick break. Had some little fun things today that I wanted to pick for you, play for you. So here we go. Here's one.
My friends, this was never the way I planned. Not my intention. My team got scared. Barack's a young man, and I'm a geriatric. It's not what we're used to. Just wanna try you on at the old white boys club at the convention.
He picked a girl to be VP.
Hope Mitt Romney don't kill me.
We hope you'll mistake me for Hillary.
Which isn't too darn likely.
I can shoot a moose, kill your right to choose, mesmerize you with my updo.
I picked a girl to be VP.
To be VP. Conservative girls are so magical. NRA card so electable. I'll make you hard with my energy plan. I'll let you drill and war. Ain't no big deal, it's in Alaska.
I picked a girl to be VP.
Mitt Romney ain't got gams like me.
Took balls to put boobs on the ticket.
Put that in your pipe and lick it.
I can shoot a moose, kill your right to choose, mesmerize you with my updo. I picked a girl to be VP.
To be VP.
And that, my friends, straight.
I never loved nobody fully. Always one foot on the ground. And by protecting my heart truly, I got lost in the sounds I hear in my mind. All of these voices I hear in my mind, all of these words I hear in my mind, all of this music, and it breaks my heart, and it breaks my heart, and it breaks my heart, when it breaks my heart.
I hear in my mind all these voices.
Listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network, coming to you live from the studios of the Guy James Show, our beautiful studios here. I don't know what's keeping the Democrats from fighting back a little harder. As I've mentioned many times before in this program, and not at all happy with the campaign that Obama is waging. He's a perfectly respectable, good candidate, but like most Democrats, doesn't know how to roll up his sleeves and fight. And, you know, maybe I'm all wet on that. Maybe a lot of you don't agree with me on that. Maybe the high road is right, but I guess I've never gotten over what my high school basketball coach told me. We got a new high school basketball coach when I was a senior in high school, and We had a pretty good team. We'd had a miserable year the year before with our old coach. He was a nice guy, but he was not the taskmaster and the disciplinarian that the new coach was. And to this day, I have great, great respect for my coach in my senior year in high school because he was a hardcore disciplinarian, and he did teach us how to win, and he taught us how to get that winning spirit. And whether you agree or not, he said, "You show me a good loser, and I'll show you just that, a loser." And I've pretty much lived by that. I do. And some of you are going to say, "Oh, that's terrible. You've always got to be a good loser." No, you don't. If you take losing lying down, if you take it easily, if you accept it oh so easily, and you're able to get into a contest where it's of vital importance, and you're able to say, "Oh, well, I lost. Maybe I'll do better next time." Then you are a loser. And I was so proud my senior year in high school when we had our athletic banquet. When the coach got up and said, "You know, I've got people on this team that are better shooters, can jump higher, can do this and that better than Guy. But the one thing I want to say about him is I've never met anybody who hates to lose more than he does." You know, I took that as a great compliment, and I still do today. I don't like losing. And I don't like losing political contests when the direction of the United States of America depends on them. And voters go to the polls like lambs to the slaughter and pull the lever for some SOB that doesn't know, as we used to say, shit from Shinola. As in a George W. Bush or a John McCain or the Sarah Palin, they'll go and vote for somebody like that over one issue, over an abortion issue, or I don't know, pick your one issue. I am so frustrated. So frustrated. Folks, this isn't just politics. I don't look at this as just politics. I don't look at this as just a game, and I know most of you don't either. This is the future of this nation we're talking about. We hear these high and mighty speeches at the conventions about, oh, how our country's done this, and the founding fathers have done this, and the Constitution, and we talk about all these things, and the flag, and our troops, and our military, and we talk about these things with great reverence and respect. And yet we go disrespect all of those things when they go to the polls and elect somebody like a Bush or a McCain or a Sarah Palin. How can this be? How can this be? Why? Why, on the one hand, do people act so patriotic? As these neocons do, they act so patriotic. They talk like they're patriotic. And on the other hand, they're so reckless about their patriotism. They're willing to hand over our freedoms to people that can't guard them and protect them. They're willing to give the authority, the ultimate authority in this country, to somebody that's just not ready and capable of handling it, as they've done for the last 8 years. And now, after looking at all of what's happened the last 8 years, they're willing to do it again. They're willing to hand it over to more people. You know, it's like that old joke about going to the refrigerator and getting a, taking out a bottle of milk and taking a sip of it and find out the milk is sour. And you put it back in the refrigerator and say, maybe it'll be better tomorrow. That's the same thing we're talking about here with this McCain candidacy. How could anybody look at the last 8 years and decide that the Republicans, any Republicans, were capable or deserving of another term? I'm so frustrated over this, I don't know what to do. You know, yeah, I heard Charles Krauthammer the other day, and I wrote this down here somewhere. Where is it? Charles Krauthammer. You know the wild-ass neocon on Fox? He said, the Republican brand is deeply tarnished. The opposition is running on change in a change election. So McCain gambled that he could steal the change issue for himself, a crazy, brave, characteristically reckless, inconceivably difficult maneuver by picking an authentically independent, tough-minded reformer. With Palin, he doubles down on change. Well, Chuck, the problem with what you said here is the inherent oddity of the incumbent party running on change. Do a lot of you get this? We've got the Republicans in power now, and we've got the Republicans running on change. I mean, here were the Republicans, the party that controlled the White House for 8 years and both houses of Congress for five, at this convention, wildly cheering the promise to take on Washington. I mean, I don't mean to be ugly about this, but who's controlled Washington this decade? And yet, they're out running to change what they've done in the last 8 years, which has been a horrible catastrophe for this nation. And we've got millions upon millions of people, obviously, from looking at the polls, who are honestly going to go pull the lever for these people again. I think most of you understand my frustration with that. I am completely perplexed, and there's no way to explain it. And I've had a couple of conversations, several conversations with people since the Sarah Palin pick. And I'm sure many of you have as well. And the cockamamie reasons that I have heard from women, and I'm not one of those misogynistic people. I have long thought it would be a great idea to have a woman as president. I have no inhibitions about that whatsoever. As you know, Hillary Clinton was my first choice. But, my God, how can this be? And on the other hand, you know, I have to wonder, in a way you'd have to be crazy to want the job as president right now. It really doesn't matter who's elected in November. He's going to be a one-term president, and I really believe that. The American voter expects instant results, and let's face it, you and I in some ways are in that. In that category, and we want fixes that aren't painful to all of us, that we don't have to suffer a lot, of course. And whoever's elected in November won't be able to produce that. If you sit down and think about it, you know that's not going to happen. There's not going to be immediate success. There's not going to be immediate easing of this financial crisis that we're in. The wars are not going to end immediately. Things aren't going to be all rosy in February. So that we should all realize. And the comeback from where we're at right now is going to be long and it's going to be painful. We should all understand that. And yet, whoever we elect, we think, oh, well, they're going to fix this right away. Well, that's not the way it's going to be. McCain will be the same as Bush. And that old train will keep running right down on the same old track it's on right now. And if Obama's elected, he'll be under, oh, withering attack from the media that won't, and he won't be able to govern. And the House and the Senate won't let him do anything that would result in too much pain, because that would endanger their own re-election chances. I don't know. I think in a lot of ways you'd have to be crazy to want the job. I really do. But thank God, as I was watching the news today, I did see one thing that made me smile. There's not a whole lot that make in the political realm these days that makes me smile, but this certainly did. And I know most of you have heard it by now, but Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid finally got some balls, and he told Senator Joe Lieberman that he can no longer attend Democratic weekly caucus lunches or the biweekly chairman's lunches used to formulate policy. While Lieberman has been voluntarily skipping the lunches for weeks, the latest move essentially formalizes a deal Reid and Lieberman had cut earlier this year, in which Lieberman would not attend meetings that included discussions of sensitive campaign or political issues. Well, thank the Lord for that. Let's head on over to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Oh, hello, Guy. This is Lilo from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Well, hi, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well, although I live in Allegheny County, which has a tendency to be a bit red when it comes to national elections.
Oh, you know, I guess I've told you before, I worked in and around Pittsburgh for a long time, and I'm very familiar with that area, and I never really talked to folks too much about their politics. I think I just assumed that Alec Whippa and up and down all the old union people and all that. I guess most of the union people are gone. One would have assumed years ago that was a blue town, but not anymore.
Oh yeah, it is. It is run by Democrats. There's no doubt about it. We do have a Democratic governor right now, but I think. Pittsburgh and the surrounding areas. Well, Pittsburgh, the city itself, really did go for Obama during the primaries, and my little town did, my little suburb did also.
So what do you like in South Hills or?
Right, I live in the South Hills.
Oh, okay, well I know that.
But all other areas around it, it was really very strange. It seemed like the quote affluent areas went for Obama over Clinton, while the working towns, working class towns, were actually going for Clinton, and now they're going the conservative route.
So what do you think about the state? You think Obama would be able to carry it?
No.
Oh.
I think we are a swing state, or we have become a swing state. It was always close, but now we have become a swing state. This area is very traditional, I know that. Having a woman or a black man on the ticket does not bode very well, at least in the number one spot. It used to be said that Pennsylvania, as far as elections were concerned, were Philadelphia and Pittsburgh with Alabama in the middle.
Yeah.
I believe we are left with Philadelphia. And the West is Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. So.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Yeah. But one of the reasons why I'm calling is when you started the show, you were talking about the buyout, the taxpayer buyout of these two lovely...
Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, yes.
And that reminded me of something. We know that they were a government program at one time, and then they were privatized.
Right.
And I believe that happened at the same time when we were sold this this bit of goods about IRAs, individual retirement accounts,
mm-hmm.
rather than Social Security or expanding Social Security or anything
yes.
like this.
Yes.
And we know that IRA accounts don't work very well. They're not very secure. To me, I think it's a big fraud. To me, they're nothing but a high-risk savings account. My retirement money would be much better in better guaranteed government pension program. But that reminded me that just a few months ago, and I wish I had not forgotten so many of the details, I ran across a little article about New Zealand, that the New Zealand government, that is the taxpayers, were buying back all or part of their railroads they had privatized.
Oh.
And I remembered having read something about one part of the British rail system, which Margaret Thatcher privatized, had also been bought back by the British government because it was not functioning, it was not doing its job. So at that time, I researched a little bit, and I found out that Argentina, for example, fired their private water company because they were not, it was not working out, the people were not getting the water and not at cheap enough prices. And several cities, like the city of Atlanta, had also canceled the contract of their water company, and so on. And I found, just by reading articles and just by Googling along and following leads, that that appeared to be a trend, that whatever when certain areas had been privatized, the government had to step in and bail out the companies or buy back at higher dollars what they had sold cheaply years before.
We're having some of that not far from where I live right now. The
uh-huh.
Governor Crist here in Florida is wanting to lease or sell Alligator Alley, the Interstate 75 that runs east
oh, yeah.
and west across,
mm-hmm.
and wanting to lease or sell it and have it privately run. And
yeah.
that could well end up back... just like you said, with us buying it back years from now and giving them a tremendous profit.
Oh, sure. The same thing is happening here with the Pennsylvania Turnpike. They want to lease that. I think it was a Spanish consortium that that wanted to lease it for 75 years or something
That's
like
the
that.
The Pennsylvania Turnpike, which has been under construction for 50 years.
Right. but I tell you what, whenever we want to go to Parts East, it is during the winter. We choose the turnpike because it usually is cleared and
yes.
the safest
yes.
of all the interstates. No matter how much you can complain about them,
yes,
complain about it.
That's true.
But that seems to be that certainly seems to be a trend that the taxpayers, not just in this country, are getting stuck with the bills. Of failed privatization. And I guess it all boils down to a difference in how liberals and conservatives view the role of government. There are some things that cannot be run as a for-profit business.
That's right.
And I guess we differ as to what belongs to the infrastructure and what does not.
Well, their idea, you know, as Grover Norquist liked to say, is to get government small enough to drown it in a bathtub, and they want to do that by privatization.
Right.
You know, there's a huge trend toward privatizing everything now, and let's face it, it's the privatization process that's going on right now is not to protect the American taxpayers in any way, shape, or form.
It's profit
for the fat cats who take over these entities, and you know, you look at Blackwater, who's all the security deals that they've got, privatization of our own armies, and as many cases we could give. It's about money, that's all.
Oh yeah, certainly. Whether the taxpayer or whether the citizens are well served, that is something totally different.
Oh yes, exactly.
And I'm just saying that it is not all black and white, and to many of the voters it seems to be black and white. It is not either communism / socialism or laissez-faire capitalism. There's an infinite number of versions in between. And we could choose one of these versions in between and acknowledge that there are things like an infrastructure which can never be served by a focus on the bottom line, on profit.
Great point. Great point.
And at least leave things like transportation, utilities, healthcare, education, and so on out of the profit-making, money-grabbing hands.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. There are just certain entities that must be socialized. They must be. And yet, you know, there's so many things that are socialized that the Republicans just love. But they'll never.
Oh,
as long as they can privatize.
No, not when it serves the general public.
That's right.
But I have noticed before you answered my call, you were talking about how Democrats are not fighting back. I don't have that much time to watch television news, but I've noticed that Democrats are really not getting much airtime.
No, they're not. And probably what I was specifically referring to at this moment is the S-CHIP thing. They had a chance to bring up the S-CHIP, insurance for kids thing, and just made it easier for the Republicans by saying, well, we're not going to bring it up for a vote right now. We don't really want to embarrass the Republicans right before an election. And it was a huge mistake. They should have rubbed it in their faces, but they're not going to.
Right. But see, even if we if Democrats wanted to fight back, it seems, first of all, there is we all know that there's a severe lack of investigative reporting.
Oh, yes.
It should be very easy to fact-check Sarah Palin, or however that's pronounced. You don't have to be aggressive or anything like that. All you have to do is take a statement like, I said thanks, no thanks to Congress about the bridge to nowhere. Let's look at it. This is what happened. But that does not come out during the local news or the network news or any of the cable stations. And let's face it, that is where the majority of the electorate get their news.
Oh, and let me give you a great example. Here I sit in Southwest Florida, and I had a radical right winger, a person I consider a radical right winger who listens to this show, pretty much call me a liar last week when I played the audio excerpts of this Mr. Dexter, who's the head of the Alaskan Independent Party right now, saying that Sarah Palin had been a member and that her husband was a member. He called me a liar and said I was wrong. I don't know if he used the word liar, but he said I was wrong. I was mistaken. It was a mistake. It was so easy for me to get a hold of this Mr. Dexter.
Yeah.
It was so easy to get a hold of him and hear straight from his mouth that was in fact true, that she had in fact, and of course we played her address to their convention this year. She'd been at a couple of their conventions. She had been associated with them. Her husband had been a member of it, confirmed by the Alaskan Election Board. It was so easy to prove that from right here.
Right.
And yet nobody on the major networks are doing anything about it. In fact,
yeah,
Chris Matthews actually said on their on MSNBC when Oberman brought it up, Chris Matthews somewhat chastised Oberman, saying, "Well, we've checked into that, and it's not true." How would he not know that when I could simply call the guy and get the straight
right.
information on it? You know,
right? It's absolutely amazing, but that is what is happening. That's why, in my opinion, the Democrats look rather wimpy and don't appear to be fighting back. If the only soundbite you get is an occasional interview that Obama gives and nobody else is on, I'm sure Biden is out there campaigning. Have you seen him on the news?
Not very much. Very, very, very sparingly.
And if he is supposed to be the attack dog, if that is one of his roles, and he is, you know, he can talk, and he doesn't mind saying something outrageous, he's not getting any airtime unless he really says something outrageous.
Yeah, Sarah Palin's
all over it.
Palin, as they say, is taking all the oxygen out of the room, I'm afraid, right now. Maybe that'll be over with soon. Hey, I want to thank you. Thank you so much for calling. I've got to do news, and great conversation. And I hope things go well in Pittsburgh on November the 5th. But please do call back.
Yeah, and watch out for that push polling in Florida.
Yes, it has started. It has started. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Bye now.
Bye bye.
You're listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. We're going to pause for news coming up here in just a couple of minutes, so don't go away. We'll be right back. We're late with the news, I know, but we've recorded it for you, and we'll be back right after the news.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. Lawsuits have been filed against two trucking firms that operate at the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach, alleging misclassification of workers in order to dodge taxes and labor laws. The suit was filed by California Attorney General Edmund Brown and says the two companies cheated the state of California out of thousands of dollars in payroll taxes. The two companies named in the suit are Pack Anchor Transportation and Jose Maria Lira. The suit suggests some companies at the ports have been classifying regular drivers as independent contractors so they can skirt taxes. Doing so gives the companies an unfair advantage over companies that properly identify employees. As a strike of 27,000 Boeing workers enters its third day, many employees say they are willing to stay on the picket lines as long as it takes in order to make the company offer a contract that is reflective of what the workers say they deserve. The workers are on the lines demanding better pay, retirement benefits, health care premiums, and job security. In 2005, Boeing workers struck the company for 24 days. No new negotiations are currently scheduled. The U.S. auto industry is looking for some help from the government as Congress returns from a summer break. The industry is seeking $50 billion over 3 years that would be used to modernize plants and expedite the development of fuel-efficient vehicles. The loans would be used to cover 30% of the cost for refitting plants so they could produce a new generation of vehicles. The presidential candidates have begun weighing in on the plan. Democratic candidate Senator Barack Obama supports funding the injection to the full $50 billion, but Republican presidential candidate John McCain has only expressed support for $25 billion previously authorized in 2007's energy bill. Automakers insist that they need more so they can create jobs in the United States and stay competitive in the world economy. Walmart's Mexican unit was found to have violated Mexico's constitution when it paid a worker with electronic cards that can only be used in Walmart outlets. The ruling by Mexico's Supreme Court currently will only have impact on the one employee who brought the complaint, and the court did not ask the chain to stop the practice. However, the court issued a statement that if more employees bring similar suits, the company can expect the same ruling. Up until 1911, it was common practice in Mexico for wealthy business owners to pay workers with currency that could only be used in company stores, where prices on items were often inflated. Walmex, says the program is voluntary.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Here's the guy changing the way you hear music, Billy Shears.
Sounds every Saturday night, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. You'll hear the latest in new music releases, special segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications with the sassy and classy Erica Richards. For requests and dedications, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. So tune in and stop by the chat room this Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Thanks for lending an ear.
Throw the second switch! Throw the third switch!
Not the third switch!
Throw it, I say! Throw it!
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, you hear me? In my creation! Fly!
This was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get count down. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
God bless America.
The only thing we have to say is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey, welcome back to the Guy James Show, and thank you for joining us here today. We're running a little behind with the news a little later than normal today, but we've got, 46 and a half minutes left in the program, and we hope you'll stay for every one of them, and we hope you'll join us here in the program, 866-546-5254. I was mentioning briefly before the top of the hour how the Democrats have—they must have some sort of a masochistic streak in them. They've made some sort of a fetish of this. They're letting the GOP off the hook once again as they cave in to a threatened Bush veto. Wouldn't it be nice to see them stand up against this one time rather than force the Republicans to explain why they're against health care for sick kids? Make them explain that. It's election time, for God's sake. Make the Republicans stand up in front of the American public and say, yes, I'm against health care for kids. Why wouldn't you do that given the chance? And they have the chance right now. The Democrats in Congress have scrapped their plans to have another vote on expansion of the CHIPS program. That's the Children's Health Insurance Program. And by doing this, they're letting the Republicans off of the hook. They would have to face a politically terrible vote just weeks before the election. To hell with it, whether or not Bush vetoes it or not. Remember before the summer recess, Democrats had over and over, they'd vowed repeatedly to force another vote on this popular program. But Democrats say they've shifted course now. After concluding that Bush wouldn't sign the legislation and they couldn't override his veto. So what? They just don't know how to play politics. They just can't do it. I mean, right before an election, is the success the point or not? Or are you bound to try and stick a big knife into your opponent? They're by doing this, they're just letting the Republicans insist that letting sick kids die is an acceptable way to cut taxes. That's exactly what they're letting them get away with. And once again, we get the standard black and white spin we're used to from the Republicans, only this time it's coming from House Speaker in waiting Rahm Emanuel. He says, oh, we're not going to change any votes on the children's health insurance bill. We still don't have enough votes to override a veto. Those who oppose this bill can face the voters and explain why they believe 10 million kids should not get health coverage. Oh, sure, Rahm. Every one of the Republicans running for re-election is going to bring that up in front of their voters at home, right? Oh, man. I let me know if you figured out the Democratic strategy. I certainly can't. One good thing that I did see today that the word is on the campaign trail that McCain doesn't like the fact that he's beginning to resent the fact that his little hottie VP is the center of attention and not him. How about that? She is better looking than him. Boy, she got a mean streak, though. 866-546-5254. Let's head over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, it's Kevin from Brooklyn.
Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, all I can say to the Barack Obama camp, you need to hit this woman and hit her hard. Go
yes.
for the jugular.
Yes.
You know why? Because when it comes, okay, put it to you this way, and I quote Chris Rock.
First time anybody's quoted Chris Rock on the program.
Yeah, well, this is some wisdom. When it comes, I think of, you know, the experience of, you know, the black experience or the minority experience, I should say, as boxing of old, where if you're minority, you cannot leave it to the judges. You've got to go for a knockout.
Exactly. That's well put. Well put. Yeah, I certainly agree with that.
Okay.
I sure do.
And even if you lose, you make sure you leave this campaign with her so bloodied that she's going to want to step down. At this point, because they're going to pull every conniving secret trick you could think of.
And she's an easy target. She really is an easy target. If you really start digging into her administration, easy target.
And the thing is, you don't even have to bring her family into it. Look at what she's done as governor.
That's right. That's right. Although I'm going to bring the family into it in a little while, I'm going to do a little parody piece someone did, and the folks over at funnierdie.com. It's kind of funny.
But the thing is, you know, and the thing is, they've done it so brilliantly because this is office politics 101.
It is. It is.
Okay, because I know a few, you know, black males who are in management, and the worst thing they can do is, you know, reprimand, you know, a white woman.
Yeah.
It's almost career ending.
Yeah. Yeah. So
they know what they're doing. They, you know, whoever thought of this one, of bringing her into it, know what they're doing.
Yeah, she's making her mark. Yeah, she is.
But Barack Obama cannot leave this to the judges. There's only been one black person in history who was able to leave it to judges and get away with it, and that was O.J., and we're still paying for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if he's going to get away with this latest one.
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Seems like they want his hide pretty bad, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, thanks for calling. You make good points, as always. And what do you think? Do you think Sarah Palin will be able to withstand the heat?
I hope not, but someone as mean as her.
She is mean as a junkyard dog. She really is.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, this is one person who can definitely smile and kill at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
And, you know, I don't buy it for one second. You know, she hides behind the hockey mom persona and all that, but, you know, you have a conniving person.
Yeah, I sold the jet for a profit on eBay. Turns out that's not true.
A lie.
Fired the chef. That's not true.
And when you bust on a lie, well, I'm just a simple hockey mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
How dare you talk to me that way? You're a bully.
Yeah. Exactly right. Exactly right. And see, she finally is going to give an interview, but it's going to be with Charlie Gibson, so that really doesn't matter. He'll do nothing but throw softballs at her, I imagine.
Well, I just hope it self-implodes, and it comes to a point where, you know, McCain can't stand the fact she's getting more press than he is.
Yeah, and he's that kind of guy. He would let her know, I think. Sooner or later, it would get to him.
Yeah. And I think the only thing they can really do to Democrats is sick Hillary on her. Sorry, you know, not to.
Yeah, Hillary could take her to task, and maybe she will before
not
it's
running
over.
For VP.
Yeah, yeah. Well.
You know, but Hillary, you know, because, or have Hillary feed Biden the lines when they go for debate.
What do you think? Let's dream a little bit, and let's say that Hillary would have been the VP. Do you think Sarah Palin would be the Republican VP?
No, absolutely not.
I don't either. They wouldn't want that matchup. They wouldn't.
Absolutely
want
not.
Wouldn't work.
Yeah. I just think, you know, Hillary did not want the VP position because she could probably do more in the Senate.
Chances are good of that, I think.
I think what's going to end up happening, if things do go well for the Democrats, she will be Senate Majority Leader, hands down.
Well, she'd be my choice for it. That's
Oh, yeah,
that's
because she will keep that House in order.
She would.
God knows, what's his name, Mr. Rogers from Nevada and Pelosi have done a god-awful job.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They've been gutless. Kevin, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you, as always.
Okay, then, bro.
Bye now. How about Governor Palin? How about there? And she's, you know, she's an up and comer from Alaska, and plain and simple. And some of you may not like to hear me say it or hear anybody say it, but I believe in just telling it like it is. She's a liar. She's a fantastic liar, and the McCain campaign are fantastic liars, and they've jumped all over this deal with her and just magnified her lies. And all you got to do is do a little research to find out what a huge liar this woman really is and what a lie her resume really is. The McCain camp keeps telling us she's a straight talker, even though she won't do any interviews with the press hasn't been deferential to her. And so we're not going to give any interviews except with Charlie. except with Charlie, and he's going to come up to Alaska and do interviews, what, Thursday and Friday? I don't know when for sure. But, you know, she's giving speeches, and she's telling anybody to listen that she's a maverick. God, I'm sick of hearing that, because she stopped the bridge to nowhere. That she heroically told Congress it could keep its earmark money. They've got an ad out saying that. Well, if that were true, that'd be quite a story, but the thing is, it's not even remotely true. But every major news organization, including Fox, has now reported the truth one way or another that Governor Palin ran for governor, pledging to build the bridge. The congressional earmark was then eliminated before she ever took office. She had nothing to do with it. And when she did take office, the only thing she ever told Congress was thanks for the money they already spent, because they already spent, what, $59 million on it or something like that? And we'll spend it on other stuff. We'll take the money, we'll spend it on other stuff. And I don't know about you, but where I come from, there's a word for that, and it's not straight talk. It's called a liar. Oh, we sold the jet on eBay for a profit. And I fired the chef. Turns out the chef just reassigned. Didn't fire the chef. Turns out she hardly lives in the governor's mansion at all. In fact, she's been taking a per diem for staying in her own home. That's nice, isn't it? How many days was it? Something like 312 days of her administration she's taken the per diem payment for sleeping in her own house. Hardly ever goes to Juneau. She got her an office in Anchorage. But they're liars. And there's no other way to put it. You can't candy coat this. Why should you candy coat it? You ask yourself, if these people are willing to repeat this lie over and over and over again, even after every news organization has pointed out that it's a lie, except Fox didn't call it a lie. They just said, well, she did back it, but later on when she became governor, she told them they didn't want it. Never mentioning that she once said that, you know, it's Fox. I'll tell you what, they think you're stupid. They think that they repeat this lie enough times that it's going to become the truth. And basically, with a lot of people, it has. That's the same cynical approach to politics that's resulted in the last 8 years of utter failure. And it's time to put an end to it. But will the American people put an end to it? I don't know. I rather doubt it. And you know, the polls that have come out the past couple of days scare the hell out of me. And they're sobering. And yes, I did expect a bounce out of their convention, and I knew that the crazies would all come out and say, oh, we've got Sarah Palin, we've got a woman, oh, we're so proud, she's one of us. Yeah, she's one of you, all right. She's one of you. You see that video of her with her end time preacher? How Alaska's going to be a refuge in the end times. Good to know we have one of our national leaders thinking that her state, Alaska, is going to be the refuge for the end timers. Isn't that a great thing to believe? But in Colorado, some of the stats in some of the swing states right now, Colorado, Obama's leading by a 49-46 margin. Actually, that's up from 2-3 weeks ago. And Florida... And this is Rasmussen. These polls came out yesterday. In Florida, the race is tied 48-48. McCain had a 2-point edge from 3 weeks ago. And Ohio, oh, brother. Ohio, what is going on in Ohio? Devastated by the Bush economy. Devastated by it. And yet McCain leads 51-44 compared to 48-43 lead for McCain from almost 3 weeks ago. So, it's up 2 points. I have no answer for that. I really don't. Except to say that Columbus and Cincinnati rarely get hurt by a bad economy. And the union people and all that in Northeast Ohio don't have the voice they once did. I can only attribute it to that. The folks in the Steel Valley and all the hardcore union people, they're gone, basically. In Pennsylvania, Obama has a 2-point edge, pretty much the same as it was. In Virginia, McCain has a 49-47 lead. That's pretty good news, I think. McCain's only up 2 points in Virginia. I think we can overcome that. And one thing to consider in this Rasmussen poll, there is a plus or minus 4.5-point margin of error, except for the Ohio survey, which has a 4-point margin of error. And a new Survey USA poll Virginia conducted this past Friday gives McCain an identical 49-47 lead with a 3.7 margin of error. Who comes up with a 3.7 margin of error? I don't know. That this is not significantly changed from a 48-47 McCain edge about 3 weeks ago. And you've seen the national polls, too. McCain leading anywhere from 1, 2, 3, 5 points. All because of Sarah Palin. All because of that. I don't know. I'm weary of this, I guess. I got energized at the convention a couple of weeks ago. And then I see the American public starting to turn the way they are in some of these polls. But I have to tell you, this 20-point swing amongst white women just totally baffles me. They may be all Republican women who were cold on McCain and decided to get involved. Some of them might be Hillary people. I don't know. But I would like for somebody to explain to me, what the hell is it about Sarah Palin that turns people on like this? Yes, she's a nice-looking lady. She talks pretty well, although you can see that latent mean streak in her, how she brings that jaw up and purses her lips after she says everything to look kind of authoritarian, you know. Real good at that. Squints her eyes a little and she gives that little wry smile. She's very good at that. Most of us can see through it, but obviously 20% of white women cannot. She's one of us. She's a moose skinner. She's a moose killer, a bear skinner. She's one of us. I watched all the Republican convention I could stand. It was difficult to watch, but I did it so I could give an informed commentary on it. And it was, like most political conventions, it was, let's face it, a spectacle with dozens of empty rhetoric, boring speeches, along with a few interesting ones as well. I thought Rudy Giuliani was completely on top of his game. I hate the guy. I really do. He's the most despicable politician, other than Dick Cheney, that I know of. But he was very convincing to that glob of people down on the floor. He was throwing them red meat, and he's good at it. And his smirks and his smile and his contempt for Barack Obama was showing, his contempt for anybody that's a community organizer. You know, Jesus Christ was a community organizer. Do you know that? He was. That's what he did. Martin Luther King was a community organizer. Many people have gone into communities and organized people to help them rise up and get together, get behind an issue, get behind a policy, get behind something. Political organizers aren't worthy of shame like Rudy Giuliani wanted to put on. Rudy Giuliani worked with community organizers after 9/11. And by the way, did anybody happen to mention the fact that Rudy Giuliani was the mayor during 9/11? Remember that famous thing he said, and I imagine if you brought it up to him now, maybe his face would turn red because he knows he's a damn liar. But he looked over to his chief of police, what's his name, can't think of it anymore, the criminal, and said, "Thank God George Bush is the president of the United States." Wanted us to believe that. So Giuliani did a good job. He did what he was supposed to do. He did. And I thought her little speech was very convincing to the people that she was speaking to. But that's another thing. The people that she was speaking to, they didn't have near the crowd the Democrats had. And when the cameras went down on the floor, it looked like most of them were either drugged or drunk or some sort of zombie conservative groupies had that look in their eye that don't have the IQ of your average Alaskan moose. No, I mean that. I mean that. That's how they look. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm so thrilled. I'm so thrilled that we could get 4 more years of a Bush administration. Oh, my God, this is wonderful. It's so great. I feel so great. And there must have been at least a half a dozen minorities in attendance. That's a very large percentage compared to the number of Republican minorities in Congress. That number, again, is minority Republicans in Congress. Oh, that's right. Zero. So with a half dozen or so minorities that were in the crowd, it made that look really good. And did you know how the cameras closed in on the minorities? Made it look like they had, you know, pretty good, huh, for the Republicans? I'm surprised they let them in the building. I'm surprised they could give credentials. I'm surprised they got through Republican security. Had to be somebody that looked around and said, "Who let those darkies in there? Who did it?" Had to be somebody. And you just had to be struck by the eloquence and the daring of this crowd of ignoramuses when they chanted, "Drill, baby, drill, drill, baby, drill. Soccer mom for McCain." Oh, you ask one of these fired up Republicans about their convention, and probably you'll hear a better assessment than I have to give you about it. But to these people, the convention was just a magnificent success, due in no small part to Sarah Palin. But that's a woman you want to watch out for. I don't trust her, have no reason to trust her, and I have much less reason to trust her now that we've been able to dissect all of the lies coming out of Alaska about her, coming out of the mouth of the McCain campaign. They've carefully crafted all this, and I think they know about the lies. They must. But they just think if they keep repeating them, they'll turn into truth somehow, magically, as things do for the Republicans like that. And, you know, a large part of the convention was their condemnation of the influence of special interest group, which is really pathetically ironic when you consider that the GOP is at the behest of the largest special interest group of all, which namely is the evangelical Christians. People are really fond of making comparisons between Junior Bush and John McCain, which, well, those are worthy of comparisons. But there really is a comparison between Palin and Bush. She wants to get her, get all of her fundy friends to vote for her. Got this new wave of Christianity making its way through the Alaskan wilderness. Have any of you been to Alaska? Have very many of you been to Alaska? Now listen, I don't want this to be an attack on everybody in Alaska, all right? I know some good folks from Alaska. I've been to Alaska. I've been to Wasilla. I've been to Anchorage and Fairbanks and Ketchikan. It's a different place. Very different, and I'm not talking about the weather and the environment. I'm not talking about the beautiful mountains and the wilderness and all that. It is stunning indeed. You literally can go to the rivers and drink out of them and all that. Still fairly pure in Alaska. But when you go to Alaska and you think of a little town like Wasilla, for example, which, and my apologies to people in Wasilla if you're listening, got to be one of the ugliest communities in America, without question. Just a sprawling, somebody put corporation limits around the place and said, build what you want, where you want, no matter how you want, and let's not have any rules or zoning or anything like that. Shacks next to nice places, next to bars, next to it's a unusual place. Very unusual. Alaska in general is very unusual. And to decide that you can pick a vice presidential candidate from somebody that owns the governorship of Alaska, you can't compare governing Alaska to any other state. Believe me, you cannot. First of all, there's only 670,000 people in Alaska. There's, 17, 18 cities in the United States bigger than that? So it's not a true governorship like a governorship of most states are. And the place really does have, and I'm talking about Alaska, a lot of rough edges. Very rough edges. So, I wonder. I mean, it's a different kind of place, and in my opinion, her political background amounts to almost nothing. The best part of her political background, in my opinion, is her membership in the PTA. Being the mayor of Wasilla, no great shakes, I'm afraid. Being the governor of Alaska and how she got there and all, that's not any big deal either. Not a really big deal. Not like being a governor of any state in the lower 48. And I don't mean that to disparage Alaska. I'm just telling people it is a different place. And people that live there will admit that the people are different in Alaska. But her speech to most people has been called a success, and I believe it was. She passed around her special needs baby for lots of photo ops up there, and she reminded us how terrible it is about being a community organizer. She had a ton of people watching. It's fascinating to me that just weeks before, the Republicans were moaning and complaining and whining about somebody being a celebrity. And I don't know who's ever been more of a celebrity than Sarah Palin was at the Republican convention. She's been painted as the great white hope for America, despite her awful record. She did back that bridge to nowhere before she didn't. Government earmarks? Oh, my God. Government earmarks. Incredible that she would talk about government earmarks, because nobody, no state in the union, gets more government earmarks than Alaska per capita. Nobody. In fact, it's not even close. She tried to make an issue of earmarks that Barack Obama has asked for his state of Illinois. And yet, her request, and let me make this clear, I heard Carl Cameron on Fox say that, well, she hasn't asked, she hasn't gotten any earmarks for the state of Alaska. She's a governor. Governor can't get earmarks for the state. She's got to go through the Senate. Okay. She made her request to Mikulski and to Ted Stevens, and they got the earmarks for Alaska. I had somewhere here an email from her to Ted Stevens that said that asked for $200 million worth of earmarks coming up in this coming year. So, you know, that's the pot calling the kettle black. Last year, Obama asked for $311 million worth for Illinois. That's $25 for every Illinois resident. Get that? Obama asked for earmarks for that amounts to $25 for every Illinois resident. Alaska asked this year for earmarks totaling $198 million. That's $295 for every Alaskan citizen, compared to $25 for every Illinois resident. She accused Obama of requesting nearly $1 billion in earmarks for his state during his time as senator. It's not true. Alaska, under Palin's leadership, has asked Washington for 10 times more money per citizen for their pet projects. 10 times more. Actually, about 12 times more. And yes, she did reject plans to build that notorious bridge to nowhere. There's a little island just off of, I can't think of the name of it, just off the, you know, Ketchikan and Juneau. You head down the coast, you have the big body of Alaska up north, and then Juneau south, and then Ketchikan, a fishing town right along the coast. Not like the place you can drive to, but get there by boat or by airplane, and they have a little ferry that crosses from the airport over to Ketchikan. And there's like 50 people that live on this little island. That's why they called it a bridge to nowhere. And they actually wanted to build a bridge over there for the tremendous amount of airport traffic coming into Ketchikan. But she decided to reject the plans to it after Congress had cut off the financing. But it's fascinating, is it not, to watch her talk about Obama's earmarks when, in fact, her state has gotten nearly 12 times more per capita than his. One of the better jobs of calling the pot calling the kettle black that I ever heard of. Let's hear Sarah on the bridge to nowhere.
You're going to hear a lot about the abusive practice of earmarks in Congress from our good senator here. We championed in Alaska reform of the old earmark process. I told Congress, thanks, but no thanks for that bridge to nowhere up in Alaska. If our state wanted a bridge, we were going to build it ourselves.
Why do you just leave Sarah Palin alone? I mean, all she wants is to be your vice president, you know? Just your vice president. And she wants to help you. She wants to help you teach a lesson to all those mean men who wouldn't let Hillary be president. And all she wants in return is just your reproductive right. I mean, just your reproductive right. Just leave her alone. You don't understand what she's been through. She has 5 kids. 5. She won't even be fazed when she has to mop up John McCain's drool or change a diaper or anything. She is so ready for this job, and you just don't know her. You've never been to Alaska. You don't live there. No one lives there. You don't know. John McCain's only been there once, and it was just visiting oil. You don't know her, and you can't say anything, and you can't judge her. She's a human being. Even though she's a Republican, she's a human being, and you don't get to judge her. She's worked really hard to get where she is. She was a journalism major. And that's not like any of those fake liberal majors like philosophy or women's studies. No, she was a sportscaster. You just leave her alone. She just wants to take care of this country. She would go out and hunt a moose for you with her semi-automatic, and she'd cook it before her press conference because she wants to feed this country. She cares about this country. And some of you say that she's under investigation, that what she did wasn't professional. Well, is it professional to publicly bash someone except at the Republican National Convention? Leave her alone! And Barack Obama, you have a problem with Sarah Palin, you deal with me! Because you're just a mean man who's trying to steal her women votes. But cheap tactics like supporting women's issues. Sarah Palin would never do that. She would never support women's issues. She would never support minority issues or women's issues. You just leave her alone. Leave her alone.
Yes, leave Sarah alone. That coming from funnierdie.com. They've got some great parodies on there. You listen to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network, 866-546-5254. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, hi. You know what? I think, you know, this is what is so dangerous, why we don't have, why education is so important for this country, why and racism is so dangerous. Because I think a lot of people are just voting for Sarah Palin just because she's a white woman. That's my view of it. I think it's all because of racism. And that's why it's so dangerous. And that's why our educational system is really sucks, because people aren't intelligent enough to really understand the issues and what's going on. I think they all have a 6th grade education. Why else would they want Sarah Palin?
You've just about hit the nail on the head, I think. Well, why else indeed? Maybe they could convince everybody with a 6th grade education easily that she's capable of being vice president. But I think you're exactly right. I think there's a huge racist element to it, which sickens me. It just sickens me. I thought the country had grown up a little more than it has, but evidently not.
Yeah, and Hello, can you still hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, and not only that, you know, I think the Democrats really need to get on the ball. I mean, they're going to, the way I remember John Kerry and how very mild he was when George Bush and those guys, or the, you know, while he was being swift boated. And the same thing is happening to Barack Obama. I think if they don't hurry up and get on the ball with this, they're going to lose the election. And you know what happens? And you know what's going to happen if we lose this election? The Republicans are going to rape this country even further. And the only people who will be able to live in this country are the filthy rich.
I think you're exactly right on target. And if the Democrats do lose this election, they may as well get out of the politics business, because they would have no business doing it. If they lose this one, it's curtains for the Democrats. There's never been anybody more easily defeated, in my opinion, than John McCain. And yet here we are looking at him ahead in the polls right now. Fascinating.
Yeah. And I think what we need to do, if we, you know, everybody really need to start circling the wagons. You know, and you know, the comedian, the comic thing that you just aired was great, and you know, the Bill Maher show is great. You know, all these, I guess, because they can hit harder than what Barack Obama can do. And the talk shows, and you know, contributing to his campaign, because for some reason Barack is just not hitting back. He's not. And I haven't heard that much from Joe Biden, and I know Joe know how to tear somebody up.
Well, he does, but I think an earlier caller made a good point that they're sure ignoring Joe in the media. He's out, and he's not getting very much media attention. And I certainly hope that can change. Although I don't know what we can do to change it except complain.
Okay. Well, thank you, Guy, and I really hope that you keep up the good work. You are just absolutely awesome, and, you know, keep fighting for us.
Well, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Charlotte.
This is Judy.
Wonderful place, Charlotte. Thanks for calling.
Oh, sure.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
She's right. Going to have to fight back. Going to have to fight back. I mean, when you hear things like this, Meghan McCain was on the Good Morning Show today. Listen to this, the hubris of this. Have these people really convinced themselves of this? I don't know how many of you have heard this, but this is Meghan McCain, daughter of John McCain, on the TV this morning, and with this fantastic comment.
When you hear Barack Obama say something like, your dad doesn't get it,
Obviously I disagree, but you might, I'm biased. His daughter, we share DNA, but obviously I think my father gets it more than anyone. I mean, my family, I have two brothers serving in the military, one that's about to redeploy to Iraq. My father's obviously a famous war hero. No one knows what war is like other than my family, period. And
no one knows what war is like other than my family. No one knows what war is like other than my family, from Meghan McCain on the Good Morning Show. No one knows what war is like more than my family, except my family. An amazing statement. An amazing statement. Just absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. Boy, I don't know. And, you know, you wonder what goes on. We're hearing now you've all heard it. Well, part of Governor Palin's experience is that she's a commander-in-chief of the Alaskan National Guard. Well, the question that's been asked now, did Palin promote Alaskan National Guard general because he changed his tone to support her? In an effort to claim that Alaskan Governor Sarah Palin had adequate foreign policy experience, Senator John McCain, presidential campaign, has repeatedly referred to her as the commander of the National Guard of Alaska National Guard. And on Fox News Sunday last week, McCain himself invoked that experience, saying she has been with her troops, the National Guard that she commands. But in several interviews last week, the relevance of Palin's role with the National Guard was severely undercut by the actual commander of the Alaska National Guard, its Adjutant General, Major General Craig Campbell. And I quote, but in an interview with the Associated Press on Sunday, Campbell said he and Palin play no role in national defense activities, even when they involve the Alaska National Guard. The entire operation is under federal control, and the governor is not briefed on situations. This from the commander of the Alaska National Guard. And he went on to say, and while the Alaska National Guard operates a launch site for a U.S. anti-missile system at Fort Greely, about 100 miles south of Fairbanks, the Alaskan governor is not in the site's chain of command and has no authority over its operations, according to Major General Craig Campbell. Campbell also said that Palin has authority over the National Guard's domestic missions, such as fighting wildfires and rescuing stranded residents, but that she has a limited role in determining how the forces are trained or equipped. So Brandon Friedman at Vet Voice points out that Campbell struck a different tone a few days later when he spoke to Fox News, saying National Guards are state military forces run by governors, and Sarah Palin does it great. Well, what a change in tune. It couldn't have anything to do with this, could it? As Friedman notes, Palin promoted Campbell 2 days later, making him a lieutenant general in the Alaskan National Guard. There is no direct evidence of a causal link between Campbell's praise for Palin and his promotion, but Friedman writes that this series of events raises serious questions about what's going on, and the media would be wise to probe it further. So, the general tells us one day that she has really nothing to do in any major way whatsoever with controlling the Alaskan National Guard. No role in the national defense activities. But just 2 days later, he says, turns out she really does have something to do with it, and he gets promoted by Governor Palin. I don't know. That might not sound odd to you, but it certainly does to me. It certainly does to me. And I also wanted to add, I found my note here, wrote to myself, she has asked for $197 million. Out of next year's federal budget for earmarks for Alaska. $197 million for next year. So, there's a lot to talk about Sarah Palin. I will continue to speak out about it. I did want to talk about one travesty very briefly. Made a note to myself today talking about this horrible event that happened in Afghanistan where we bombed and killed a bunch of civilians, and the Pentagon said it didn't happen. The Afghans are now reportedly ready to open graves to prove the civilian deaths. They claim that about 90 children were killed, and they've got pictures of it. But the Pentagon said it didn't happen, and they relied for their account on it on corroborative evidence by the embedded journalist on the scene, the highly regarded, highly respectable, highly truthful Oliver North. You tell me who to believe. Oliver North could not convince me that the sun rises in the east. That lying, no good. Well, anyway. Hey, thanks so much for listening to the program today. I very much appreciate it. It certainly would help if you could go to our website, theguyjamesshow.com. And donate a couple of bucks to the show. It certainly would help keep it going right now. We need it. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Billy Shears, music director. Thanks to Bob and everybody at the Head On Radio Network. Stay tuned for Mark Levine. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you tomorrow, gang.